There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. This hour, talking some crypto with my friend Scott Tindall. Also, I'm going to take a phone call. If folks have been holding on, I'm going to get to your call here. And I just want to say this. So out of all the texts that came in after my discussion of what we should do here, you know, the United States under President Trump was baby formula independent. Okay, we're baby formula independent. We're close to being a net exporter of baby formula, close to it. In these troubling times right now, I think it is time, and I've called upon President Biden, and you can look at me on Twitter. I've talked about some of this. It's time to tap the strategic baby formula reserve, to start pumping straight out of the salt dome, the Enfamil and the Similac, whatever else there is. Pump that out. Let's we'll you know, get the conveyor belts bringing it out, and we'll... No, I'm just, this is serious time to do this. So I will just say this. Chris and Daphne said... his text said, in reference to the baby formula shortage, I noticed on the news last night they did not mention breastfeeding as an alternative for those able to do so. And let me say this for Chris and myself, so you can save yourself a text. I know that not everybody, it doesn't always work and all that kind of stuff. So before you send some angry text here, we couldn't do it. Okay, I get it. But the nice thing is, new mothers, a lot of them have an emergency kit on their person. They take it with them everywhere. To feed the little ones. God helped us have that emergency kit. So does it stink? Yes. Am I cocky about this because my youngest is 11? Yeah, I am. But, you know, moms, y'all have a strategic reserve right there that you're holding on to. You could tap your strategic baby formula reserve. All right, take a quick call before we get in our conversation with Scott. Mike is in Point Clear and has been holding on. Hey, Mike.
Thanks. I appreciate your sense of humor, for sure. I just wanted to remind you that the Little River Canyon is a national preserve. It's under the National
Park Service. But DeSoto State Park abuts it. So.
Yeah, but they're all close together.
Yeah.
I told you I built a cabin up there, and the canyon's literally off right touching my, you know, it's off.
Can you back me up, Mike, for people from here that have not gone up there? Is it also, or you're building a cabin? I think
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I bought the property when everybody was tanking out up there everywhere in 2010. So
I like your style.
I wanted to call up about, I'm with you on the state parks, obviously. I'm connected to a national park and right what very short distance to DeSoto. And it's just awesome. And I'm fine if we're going to do a bond issue, but I'm going to throw another log on the fire here.
Okay.
I know that it would be good if we could do it out of state budget.
Yeah.
But if we do a bond issue, I'm all in favor of it. But I want to remind people of back in 2003, we did a bond issue for state parks.
Yep.
And $1 million was supposed to be for Fort Morgan, and it got sucked up by CC and Litchfield consulting firm in Montgomery, and nothing ever hit that fort. And so there has to be extreme, oversight.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll just use that word and be nice. Oversight and transparency on how that money is spent, because it was supposed to be for back in 2003. It was supposed to be for repair and restoration, and they spent it for planning, and that's like $1 million. Now we're talking about $80 million.
Yeah, and for everybody to know what we're talking about, so when they did this bond last time, they have paid off the entire bond. They did that, but you're talking
right.
about waste
and,
in the bond.
And, you know, we got a AAA bond rating and all that kind of stuff. That's great. I'm all in favor of spending it on that, but I'm not in favor of money going to a consulting firm for long-distance planning. There's things that really need to be repaired and updated. We all know what they are.
Yep.
And
yep.
It really hacked me off when that money disappeared.
That, and you know what? I wasn't.
And that was Alabama Historical Commission that did that, by the way.
The beauty is here going forward. So 2003 was a time before FM Talk 106.5, but now because I got a dog in that hunt, we'll watch it. We'll watch it and keep our eyes on it.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. All right. So I mentioned Scott Tindall joining us again, and I picked the best day to talk about cryptocurrency with you. Hey, man.
Today's better than yesterday to talk about cryptocurrency.
It is. So I made it my note. So here, my note here said, all right. So Bitcoin price rebounds after a fall below 26,000. While it has come back some today, Bitcoin has halved in the last 6 months.
Yeah. That's all true.
Yeah. So
that's real data.
Yeah. I don't bring you in just to cheerlead. I bring you in to ask you, you know, as the authority in my world on these things. And I don't talk about Helium Network and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but what's happening? Because, another note I made. It said notes for Scott. Why would this happen? It seems like in light of massive inflation in fiat currency, crypto would be a hedge and be up. Educate me. What's going on here?
I think that is the theory, but Warren Buffett has a really good quote. He says, the only real hedge against inflation is increasing your earning capacity.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The only way we're really going to beat inflation is by making more money, right? But what you're seeing in crypto, and Bitcoin leads the pack, is what you see in all the other markets. Everything is down. Netflix is down 70%. Yeah, Disney's going down. And these are going to follow. And so what you're seeing
right
now...
So they're more like an equity than they are...
Look, I think it's going to shake out like the 90s.com did.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some that are wildly successful. You're going to have some pets.com. You're going to have some that fall in the middle.
Yeah.
And we should expect that, right? So right now there's 17,000 different types of cryptocurrencies. So 17,000. So I told somebody, this came up the other day, and I told somebody, before I got into crypto full time, I thought most of it was probably garbage. Now that I'm in crypto full time, I know that most of it is garbage, right?
Well, that helps.
But here's the difference.
Okay, so where do I slice this?
Let's say there's 1% that are legit.
Okay, so 1,700.
That's 170 crypto projects that are legitimate that need to be evaluated to
but
see
how do we
which
know,
of
but
their.
How do we know that? I mean, I know
we don't. All right, yeah. So I we don't. The answer is what I try and do is I have kind of a formula I look at. Are the founding team visible? Are they anonymous or do they tell you who they are? Right? First check mark. If it's an anonymous founding group,
you don't like it.
I don't even look any further.
Okay.
So that's my first start. Okay. We know who they are. Two, in their white paper, do they have a roadmap that makes sense? And has anyone already invested in this? If any of the private capital groups, the private equity groups are already in, you might already be too late, but it's a good sign that somebody believes in this. Then third is, does it have a utility? What is it actually going to do? If it provides a utility, I'm interested. So to me, this is no different than investing in a startup. Every crypto is a startup, and you evaluate it like you would. The beauty is you can exit immediately from this startup, where if you were in traditional startup enterprise, once you put that startup capital away, you're either going to expect a 10 exit, you know, 3, 5, 7 years, or lose all of it.
Right.
And this is far different because of the liquidity.
Okay, but here's the troubling thing for me. I've gone through with you before. So you're talking about looking at the white paper. Okay. In an equity, I can go, they make this widget.
That's right.
I think these widgets are going to be hot. People are going to dig these widgets. I've been lucky over my years to figure out a few widgets I thought were hot or follow mm-hmm. people's coattails that I've respected into widgets that were hot and made some money. But I look at crypto, it's a currency. What is the widget?
It's a payment layer on top of businesses. So let's go to the Helium network.
Okay.
What is the use case? The use case is a decentralized wireless communication network that will be able to handle all types of sensors, but also soon 5G cellular technology.
Okay. But see, that business would make sense to me without the crypto element.
And that should be the point.
And then I get confused and I go, and we'll talk about more about Helium in a second. I like it, but then I go, but why is it got to have a money with it or crypto with it?
Because they've got to incentivize you to participate and build the network. If they don't find a way to pay you, how are you going to go build the network on their behalf? If AT&T and Verizon or Sprint want to build a network, they've got to invest billions of dollars of their own money.
Right.
A decentralized company like this doesn't have billions. They do have a $1 billion valuation now.
Right.
But instead of spending billions of dollars to invest and build out the network themselves, they are rewarding the people who build out the network. And the way they're doing that is essentially giving you equity in the company.
Okay.
Because these coins should be thought
of. So they're shares.
They're basically shares. And yes,
but it's also
you're earning
money.
Shares.
It's also,
well, you the shares are liquid immediately.
Yeah.
Just like trading on the market. Imagine if you got every time you drove your Ford truck and you were advertising for Ford, Ford gave you money every day. Maybe it's 30 cents. Maybe it's 50 cents. But we appreciate you advertising this every
I've argued
day.
That before, yeah.
Okay. That's no different. You are providing a service for Ford by helping them spread the word, and they reward you. We are building this network, and they are rewarding us. Now, imagine they were rewarding you with free shares of Ford stock. They said, every month, we're going to send you one share of Ford stock. Might be worth $4, might be worth $12.
Yeah.
But you're happy to get your one share of Ford stock every month.
I understand that.
That's the concept, and that's what crypto projects should be. And when I'm looking for them, that's what I look for. So there's a difference in speculating on a coin. That's like gambling. That's fine. Okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some people are better gamblers than others. I don't like losing money, so I don't gamble.
Right. But that's okay. And that's great. It helps me understand this. At the same time, is there a difference between that and Bitcoin? Because Bitcoin doesn't have that.
Bitcoin's utility is that it's supposed to be a secure, permissionless, non-centralized payment system. Think of Bitcoin as Visa or MasterCard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're trying to replace. So that is their business model. That's it. So whatever Visa and MasterCard do, if you have Visa stock, Bitcoin is the same thing as Visa stock. They're a payment processor. Mm-hmm. That's it. If you don't think beyond that, then you don't have to concern yourself.
So not all, you can not ask all yourself, crypto is not all. So there are some that are, well, I know you're saying they're like a Visa stock, but they're in the world of finance where another one might be an infrastructure.
Yeah, so let's take Filecoin. Okay.
So what?
Filecoin, F-I-L-E.
Okay.
They pay you for sharing your storage space on your computer hardware.
You are providing, I go broke doing that. I
you are providing them a service, right? And in exchange,
they're renting space from me.
That's right. And they're paying you in Filecoin. So they're basically paying you in stocks of their company. So if you believe that's a good idea, that permissionless, decentralized file storing is better than putting it on Amazon's cloud, then this would be an alternative for you. And so you should get rewarded for providing that service to that company.
Am I held responsible for what's on those files?
No, but there's a long detail.
Okay.
You know how all that stuff works. But that's the way these coins should work, right? That's the way crypto should work. All right? There's one called Planet Watch. You put an air sensor at your home or business. It provides results, and now they have air quality results all over the world, and they pay you because they are selling that data to scientists and universities and everywhere else. So why shouldn't you get paid for collecting that data on their behalf?
You're going to cut out the local meteorologist weather spotter. Where they go, Scott in Mobile says it was 86 yesterday.
No, but the interesting thing is these sensors now are very cheap, and we can do air quality sensing for far more efficiently than we used to.
You always come in with things I'm like, that's really cool.
I'll give you another example, one quick one. We're working with a utility company right now, locally, to try and build a network so that they can put sensors on the homes in their municipality that will emit the pulse of what the gas reading is, so that they don't have to go out and read the gas meters anymore. It will just pulse that right to their office. So they'll have all those readings without having to manually send, employees in a truck to go check out thousands of
readings.
And so
you get paid for feeding your information to the utility?
No. Basically, the utility would control it. Just like they read your meter now, they would go put the sensor on your gas meter.
But how are they going to cut me a deal for doing that?
Maybe your gas will be cheaper because they'll have fewer employees and it'll be much less costly to monitor that. So theoretically, then they should pass the savings on to you.
Yeah, theoretically. It's a beautiful thing. Coming right back, more with Scott Tindall. I got a bunch of questions for you. People lined up on the text line, so we'll get to these when we return right here on Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
125 FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's my man Trey and his crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK making things disappear David Copperfield style. Well, without all the glitter and the waving around of the hands, but here's how it works. So you got junk at your house. I'm not telling anybody else, but I saw it, and it's gotten out of control. It could be inside your home. It could be outside your home, meaning you could have like just boxes in the attic you want gone, or you could have, I don't know, you could have a above-ground pool with the big slide and everything, and you don't want that. Anything in between there, my man Trey can get rid of it, and he gets it done very efficiently. And another part of it, I don't do this all the time, but I want to tell on him because, you know, I like it when people act right. And his company, if he's coming to get junk and then you had something like of value, you want to donate to a charity, you know, I mean, Catholic Social Services, anything, this great dining room table or this great thing of value, but you don't have the vehicle to haul it there. He does, and he'll split a load, and he'll take stuff to junk, and he'll go drop off that donation for you as well. It's good people. It's what local people do. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make that appointment. Maybe make it for next week. I know you're not going to do it on a Friday. You make the appointment on a Friday. Get it done next week. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or just pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll find a day that works for you, window of time, and they make a good old-fashioned appointment, show up, and all you got to do is point to the junk you want gone. They'll quote your price, and they get it done right there if you say yes. All right, we continue our conversation, and we'll have about 3 or 4 minutes here, and then we'll come back more with Scott Tindall. We were busy during the break calculating our personal inflation rate. You're doing good. You're 8.5%. I'm 10.2.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold off on buying the new car thing. So
yeah.
Right now I've got two vehicles that are paid off.
This is my favorite brand.
Riding until the wheels fall off, man.
It's my favorite brand of car.
Absolutely.
And truck is the paid off brand and truck. All right. Many text questions here. But this one, Florida man says, give us your opinion of, and if I say this incorrectly, stellar lumens or stellar?
Stellar lumens. So.
Is that, am I saying it right, or luminaire or what?
Yeah, it depends on.
Is this the one that is? Did we have crashes of these other cryptos?
Yeah, we had some pretty big crashes.
Like worse than Bitcoin.
The biggest one we've ever had. Yeah, we had a company called Terra Luna.
Terra Luna.
Terra Luna. Yeah, it's the coin is Luna. And,
oh, I've seen that before.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a stable coin that's pegged along with the U.S. dollar. It's a trading pair. That's how you keep balance and it's complicated.
Okay.
The point is, some people with a lot of money, like multiple billions, manipulated the pegging between Terra Luna and Bitcoin and basically created some arbitrage. And when they did, they destabilized the stable coin. They basically had all the liquidity of the stable coin. Too much of it was to one party. So when they yanked their liquidity, the liquidity pool for basically this bank vanished. A run on the bank happened.
Okay,
and
I
this coin
that.
Goes down to fractions of a penny now. And people have lost substantial amounts of money. It was one of the biggest cryptos in the world.
Okay. So you talk about there.
But it's a bank run, basically. Somebody manipulated a bank run.
Okay. Yep. And so that's happening every day.
It's not every day. I mean, this is a pretty big deal. It's the first time we've seen anything like that to that scale.
You know, you talk with us about helium. And by the way, and if we've run out of time for the news, we'll get the rest of the story. You sent me a tweet a couple of weeks ago, got my attention, because Scott knows me. He sends me something about helium and crab traps.
Yeah.
So these two worlds met.
Right. What? So there's this guy that was having an issue keeping track of his crab traps.
Right.
Right. They'd either float off or...
This is West Coast, deeper water.
Yeah. It was off the coast of San Francisco. And he was having trouble losing crab pots that were full of crabs. So he's losing thousands of dollars. So he basically invents a sensor, puts it on the helium network. He can not only track where his crab pots are, but he can track how many crabs have walked into that trap to know when to go retrieve it or not.
Okay, we're going to come back from the break more about it, because that would work on a...
It would work on your pier right now?
Yeah, okay. See, now this is how I understand helium better. All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 134 FM Talk 106.5, and checking in with our buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And before we even get into the precious metal discussion here, y'all still doing the free appraisals like I brought my family members in for before?
Yes, sir. We're happy to do that for folks.
Not that you appraise them, but their the products. I mean, you can appraise my family members, too, but they had, in this case, it was jewelry. They were trying to figure out what it really was worth.
Well, that's the thing. Is, you know, you've got to know what your stuff is worth. So Grandpa gave you a big old box of coins. Grandma gave you a big old box of jewelry. You have no clue what's real, what's not, what the values are. You know what Grandpa said, but if it's like my grandfather, you know, he's probably pulling your legs. You never know. We give a real, current, honest, upfront appraisal. You know what your stuff is worth. You know what if you wanted to sell it today, what kind of money you could get out of it. If you need to split it up between the family members, now you know how to do that and be fair about it. You could even say, hey, we need to split this up five ways, and we would do the splitting up for you. That way, you're not going to get in trouble.
I love it. What's going on with precious metals and people coming in to buy and maybe sell?
Yeah, they had started to dip a little bit, and now they're starting to recover. Silver's hovering right around $21 an ounce. Gold is right around the $1,800 an ounce mark, and they're starting to creep back up again a little bit. The little dip that we've had has brought out a lot of the first-time buyers, a lot of people watching these TV ads and things and questioning them, which is good, because I had somebody call earlier, and they said, hey, the TV said this. And they were going to be paying about 50% more per ounce than what they could right here. And the best thing is there's no sales tax here in Alabama. You walk in, you pick out your stuff, you pay for it, and then you head home.
Perfect. Tell folks how to find you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. Online, mobilebaycoins.com. You can also like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook. If you want to check out our radio show, tune in every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. at FM Talk 106.5. I mean, heck, just leave your station in the car set on 106.5, right?
Yeah, I agree.
If you miss it, check us out as a podcast.
Excellent. And Angelo, we'll be seeing you soon.
Sounds good.
There he is. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And talking wealth, earning, those kind of subjects here when we talk crypto. Scott Tindall.
Hey, I think coins are great. I think there's room for everybody in the world. And I think there's a huge need for people to learn more about what they have. So he made a great point. You have to know what you have.
Yes.
Right? And you have to know what it's worth. And I think a lot of people probably have things that they think are worth a lot that aren't, but they probably have more things that are worth something that they don't know.
Might be.
And I'll give you an example. First printing, first edition of any major book, especially if it's ever been turned into a movie, probably worth more than you think. Only reason I know this is because I'm obsessed with dinosaurs, and I was looking for Jurassic Park. First edition, first print of Jurassic
Michael
Park.
Crichton's yeah, book, yeah.
$80.
Really?
It's probably sitting around people's house right now. You know, they got it in the summer of 91 and just never did anything with it. But anyway, big titles like that, titles that were then later made into movies, big.
I'm going to scour the library tonight.
You should.
And there's so many questions coming in, but what do you tell folks on, you said at the beginning, how many different cryptocurrencies?
About 17,000.
Okay. Out of that, you draw your line where?
I gave you my three rules to even consider them.
Yeah,
my
know
three
the
rules
people behind
consideration,
it.
They have to have the identities behind the founding team and who's running the company. Right? We need to see if there's somebody that's put some skin in the game with them other than the founders. And then three, you know, is it an actual utility? Will it do something?
Okay.
If it doesn't check all three of those boxes, I don't even go forward. If it loses in any of those three boxes, I don't even spend any more time with it.
Okay. So you can pare down that list pretty
very fast.
Okay. Yep. And this idea of the utility of it is interesting. We've talked about helium on this. It does help me maybe understand it more because it's more like an equity. I know that's probably saying something horrible in the crypto world, but I get those things. Like you're talking about what it does, you know?
Imagine if you could get paid for your timber producing oxygen.
I'm looking at that, yes.
Right? So that's the same kind of concept. You have an asset. Your asset is providing for the network. The network is we all need oxygen. Unfortunately, there's no monetization of how to do that.
Right.
But that's the way to think about it, all right? Or you're driving every day. Why not put a geomapper on your own car and get paid for mapping your community?
Mm-hmm.
You're already going those places. It's just free money coming in on top of what you're already doing. So you're looking for utility that can be additional bolt-ons to your already ordinary life. If you want to get on the build outside, right? If you want to help build networks. If you're just looking at investing money in places, use your own metric and make your own decision on what you think your rules need to be. Those just happen to be my three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I stay out of trouble. So when people are worried about these giant crashes, I'm less worried about it for a couple of reasons. One, I feel very good about the projects that I'm invested in. But two, I'm not trying to take my money out today anyway. Right?
Right.
So,
right.
So when everything artificially follows Bitcoin down because of this crash, people panic and they sell, and that's buying season.
But that,
this is buying season if you believe in a project.
Okay.
If you have a project you believe in, and I'm not telling anybody what project that'll be, but if they have one they believe in, now's the time to buy it. If you loved it 40% higher than now, you should be, you know,
sure,
selling your, you know, kidney to get into that.
Well,
project.
That's why I'm bringing your phone, right? Because that's my, it's kind of my contrarian nature in equities, that when everybody runs one way, I turn around and run the other. It's not always successful, but more times than not, it has been for me. So that's what, you know, brings me back to, well, maybe it's a, you know, maybe this is a better deal at this price. And, you know,
for me, it's, if I believe in the projects, I'm going to continue keeping my head down and focused on those projects and only adding in more when I get opportunities. However, there's, you know, I don't know who coined it. It's been around for forever, but it's only a fool who doesn't change his mind, right? So
yeah,
if you have
yeah,
new information, it's okay to change your mind and exit a project. Too often we get stuck in this sunk cost fallacy and think that,
right,
you know, I've got to stay here. No, you do not. It can get worse. This idea that it can't get worse is, that's a false.
Right.
It can always get worse.
All right. But out of that, new opportunities come up. Let's talk about the thing we've discussed in the past that I have kind of finally wrapped my mind around a little bit, and that's mining of Bitcoin or doing all that. At what scale, when people hear that and they go, you know, you talked last time about, like, if you have a facility and you can put these computers, at what scale does it start making sense? Is there kind of a breakpoint?
One unit makes sense, right? If your power
literally
price
and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively. And the reason is you need either 240 volt or 208 volt power to operate a Bitcoin miner. In most people's houses, the only place that exists is the dryer plug.
Right. We're getting rid of the dryer.
So what some people have done, literally, is they run their Bitcoin miner when they're not running the dryer. And then when they're running the dryer, you know, they just unplug their machine. And it's no big deal. It's only an hour a day. So that's how most people get started. They literally
one
put
machine
one machine
plugged into the dryer,
into their laundry room, where, because it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to work on some ventilation. But that's how most people get started. And that, look, at the price of inventory right now, you can get some great deals on the hardware. And then
what is Play School's My First, you know, mining device cost me?
$7,000 for a Bitcoin miner.
Okay.
Most people are getting their ROI back in 11 months.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so, and then going forward, I mean, if we stay at that, you're looking at, you know, $7,000 and change a year.
Correct.
What is the power consumption? What's that?
Large.
Is it 7,000?
No, no, you should net out.
That's not gross.
No, you should net out and pay off your each machine in about 11 months.
Okay, so we'll go to the news break here, and I will get a link here to buy that one. Just don't tell anybody at the house, right?
All
right.
No worries.
We don't need to drive.
We can run it here at the office. It's fun.
Right. You can come back and talk to us again soon.
I'd love to, man. It'd be fun.
People want to reach out to you online. Where's best?
Scott Tindall, Scott_Tindall on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Also, you know, we've got a minor league soccer team here in town, Sean.
Yeah, so let's talk some soccer.
So we've got a match on May 21st. It's a real legit minor league soccer team. I've just got involved with this club, but it's amazing what they've done and what they've built. And they'll have 1,500, 2,000 people
AFC,
a night. AFC Mobile.
Yeah.
And so we've got our first match May 21st at home, and it's Teacher Appreciation Night, which means all teachers or anybody that works at a school gets in free,
okay,
and then kids 12 and under get in free.
Okay.
So there's really no excuse not to come out and have just an amazing
time.
Where
do you play?
We play at the Lip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great
and,
place.
And looks like we're going to be selling beer this season, so, you know,
well, yeah,
could be a good time, I think.
You had me a beer.
But I think everybody should check it out, and that's afcmobile.net for the website, but all the socials, AFC Mobile, and it's a local club owned by local people.
Yeah, and they've, you know, since early on when it came around, they started reaching out to us as well. So good for you. You're going to be out there. What
I'll
position?
Be there. Yeah.
What position?
You know, left out is typically my position on the soccer field.
Scott, as always, I appreciate it. Coming right back here on Midday Mobile, Tiffany Ray from Taylor Martino.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here and good to see Tiffany Ray with Taylor Martino Rowan back in studio. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're gonna do a little reverse here. If y'all didn't hear Tiffany last time, you are an attorney with Taylor Martino Rowan. You are also a recovering journalist.
That's a way to put it, yeah.
let's talk about it, because it's amazing when I get to talk to folks with Taylor Martino Rowan. It's like all attorneys, but then you'll have your super friends' powers. You know, that this person does this and this person. So you had a career in journalism.
I did. And it's given me a chance to contribute something right off the bat. I'm one of the newer members of the team, and so I can use my journalism skills, my background in researching a topic and writing a lot mm-hmm. on deadline, and put that to work with our legal team.
All right. Because this is a key for people to understand that aren't on your side of it, that writing is a big deal. People will think about, okay, the courtroom and all that goes on. But let's talk about what happens in the case beforehand. A legal brief. I mean, what is that?
Well, first, probably a lot of people know most cases never go to trial in the first place.
That's not what they show us on TV.
Well, that's the exciting part.
Right. My
writing bit, I guess, happens behind the scenes, and it wouldn't be very exciting television. Once you bring your case to court and you make these legal claims, you really have to show that you have a viable claim and get through some hurdles before you have a chance to take your case in front of a jury. So, for example, once you bring your claim, the other side could file a motion. There's a few different types, and they will try to get rid of some of your claims or maybe the whole case and make some legal arguments. And then you have to respond to that. And that's the brief that you're writing. And so a lot of cases are really won and lost on paper that way. So it's important that you make your case strongly in those motions and to the court so you can get past those hurdles and take your case.
So if this is not written properly and this back and forth is not done in writing properly, you may never see your day in court. You may never see a jury.
Yes, that's possible.
So from going through this, and I guess for a journalist, it's maybe easier than, you know, butchers, bakers and candlestick makers. But you're making an argument here or laying out facts, right? I mean, what are the facts?
The facts and the law. You know, each person that comes in the door, each client has their own unique story, their own unique circumstances, issues. And it's our job to know those and to apply them to the law and to figure out what viable legal claims there may be.
Because if I come in, Tiffany, and say, I was hurt by somebody doing this, that, or the other, then you're taking that and putting it in legalese, right? Or finding the law that says it's wrong that I was hurt.
Yes, yes. The law, the intention of the law, of course, is to give you those protections, to say, these are your legal rights, these are the obligations of people, and when we have violated those create legal actions.
Okay, because so you are taking what we will speak of as just like, all I know is I was hurt and the truck did this or the whatever happened here, the product did this. And then you know that equals, here's the best law to apply here.
Yes, that's our job to figure that out. You know, basically, here's the issue. Here's the problem. What was done wrong? And then the question is, what's the law that says that was wrong?
It's super important that the right law is applied, that you go to the right law and write that in that brief.
Sure, sure. It's a legal claim. It's a lawsuit.
but a lot of people will think they'll jump from this idea of that I've been hurt or I've been harmed. And then there's that court thing they see on TV. And this part of it that is so crucial, it's great to learn about.
Sure. There's a lot that happens in between, and it's not something that you see in the media, I guess. Yes. But a lot of it happens behind the scenes, the research and the writing. And that's where I get to come in. And I really enjoy that.
I've noticed in our conversations, you really do enjoy it. I mean, you're in the right job. There's a right job for all of us out there, and you have found your place.
Yeah, I'm a nerd from way back, so it suits me. One of the partners in the firm, Steve Martino, he refers to me as a lawyer's lawyer.
Okay.
And I think what he means by that is is I like to sort of be the person looking at the issues and digging into the weeds and maybe pointing out legal arguments or potential issues or
that's super important because that's why we're going to get right. I mean, it's that's the argument to, hey, take this case. We have a right to come to court.
I suppose so.
Yeah. I mean, it's done. And I want to talk about this as well, because this idea of the process, because for most people, you know, you see them after the worst day in their life. Right. You know, this process of going through this, they come to Taylor Martino Rowan. They come, they meet, they say, in my language, regularly, like, this is what happened to me. And that starts this process. But then you're on board. Here are the attorneys at Taylor Martino. All of y'all are on board working on this. This thing about, I've read about this with the big firms that are out there. They'll have these caseworkers. They're like, well, you're not, you know, it's not the attorney, but we're going to assign you a caseworker. Is that, I mean, what does the caseworker do?
Well, to be honest, I can't speak to that. We don't have anybody like that in our firm. We have us, the attorneys. We have paralegals and legal assistants. We don't have anybody that fills that function. We do the
work
ourselves. So you have
attorneys and paralegals working on these things, not caseworkers.
Sure, yes.
I want to go back through this process here of writing these out. As you write the, are you writing, because you said, Steve Martino likes to say you're a lawyer's lawyer. So you're writing language that I guess makes sense to lawyers, but also, I mean, this ends up going in front of the judge too, right? So, I mean, you got to think about the judge looking at this.
Yes. You're writing for the judge at that point because it's.
Do you know, I mean, you have an idea of what, I mean, you have to after you know what how they want to see it. You know, just think about being in school, right? To some level, this professor wants to see it this way and this way and this way. Does that kind of play into it? Like knowing how you need to line this up?
Well, I guess I'd say, you know, being a journalist, you always are writing for an audience.
Yes.
And you have to keep that in mind. Who are you writing for? How much background information do they have?
Mm-hmm.
So I think in general, it's always a good assumption to lay everything out as clearly as possible, because you want people, you don't want to make it hard for people,
right?
For anyone to know the argument that you're trying to make and to understand the issues and know the facts behind the issues.
Just joining us, talking to Tiffany Ray from Taylor Martino Rowan. What about this? Talk to people directly. You're writing for an audience. Now talk to an audience that have had an injury, or somebody they love has had an injury, and they are reticent to do anything about it, right? They feel like, I don't feel like suing somebody. I don't feel like getting an attorney, but their lives are, you know, you talk to these people and they're limited in their ability to make money, to provide for their children. I mean, what do you say to them? Just like you and I are sitting down talking, what do you tell those folks? Why should they come see an attorney?
Well, I would tell them that, first of all, the decision is always theirs. It's always in their power to determine what they want to do and not to do.
Right.
But it's always a good idea to have all the information in your hands before you make decisions.
Is that a thing where people could come in and talk to y'all at Taylor Martino Rowan and just say, hey, I just want to tell you what happened. I'm not saying I'm going to do anything. I just want to tell you what happened. And then y'all will listen to them?
Yes, absolutely.
So it's almost like, you know, if somebody just wants to see, you know, they have this injury, this thing happened to them, y'all are ready to listen to them.
Yes, we're ready to listen.
So, Tiffany, talk to me about people that have had something happen to them, some injury, something has happened to them from somebody else, and they just want to talk about this and see where they are. What do they do?
Well, they can just give us a call. We're online and we're easy to find. And, of course, there's no charge for calling and talking to us.
Well, because I hear people talking about, oh, it's free. But so how does it actually work?
Well, it's free for the individual who comes to us with the problem.
Okay.
We tend to work typically on a contingency basis, which means that we recover only if you recover.
Okay.
And we will recover a percentage of that. So if you take a case to court and you don't recover anything, then there's
don't
no
you anything.
Cost. Yes.
All right. So let's talk about that. Let's get folks in to just tell you their story. Talk about what's happened. Once again, to get in touch with you, find you all online is best.
Mm-hmm. Just Google Taylor Martino Rowan and you will find us online.
Tiffany Wright, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.